and Technic XA2 Don Tigney Inferior Glide Release. I'm going to use my client's femur to glide the ilium in a posterior direction. This one comes from Robert Don Tigney, who's a physical therapist with a lot of interesting techniques for working with the ilium. In this case, I'm using the leverage of my hand on the opposite knee to pull the right half of his pelvis in an inferior direction. Is that okay, Chris?
That's perfect.
So the things to check in about are the pressure on the back of the knee, the position in your body, but it's an effortless way to get some leverage in a direction that's otherwise hard to do. With the hip flexed here, I'm still encouraging inferior glide, maybe a bit of roll of the whole pelvis too, a bit of a backwards direction. But at least at the femurs at this 45-degree angle, the femur's really lined up with the SI joint. And I wait for our usual things. Wait for a shift in the breathing. Wait for a little bit of response. Any questions? All good? Okay. That was the inferior glide Don Tigney technique XA2. Next supplemental technique for the A sequence, in other words, extra A technique, is the leg as a handle technique. In this case, with my client side lying, I can use his leg as a way to actually move one ilium on the sacrum in this and up and down direction. We can actually do multiple directions. The most obvious one, of course, is inferior and superior glide. So I need to line up his leg with his body, as opposed to lining up at the table. If it's lined up at the table, I might just be rolling him around. In this case, if I actually line it up with his spine, then I can focus the movement right at the SI joint. So the angle of the leg allows me again to feel into and move ilium on sacrum in that superior inferior glide direction. How you doing with that, Chris? Or I can bias it a little bit with some internal rotation to work with that rotation, opening up the back side of the SI joint, or bias it with some external rotation of the leg and ilium, and work with gapping the front side of the SI joint. I can also use the leg as a handle for apple and pear motions of the ilium. They're all available to me here. So apple, pear. Again, I'm feeling and I'm using my leverage to isolate the movement at the SI joint, as opposed to just rocking the entire segment of the pelvis around. Really using some compression through that femur to glide one bone right on the other. Questions? Client is letting the leg be heavy. If he was engaging the leg, it was hard to be heavy, that's what I would work with. I'd stop right there and help him feel whatever's making it hard to be heavy, because that's the barrier at that point. Any other questions? Okay, leg is a handle. Way to assess and move the ilium in all directions. Another way to assess posterior glide of each ilium is to use the pubic symphysis. There's a very mobile joint in the middle, but the bony prominences of each pubic bone are another place we can feel for resilience to test for that posterior glide. So in technique XA04, the pubic symphysis squish test, I'm going to use his hands. Go ahead and, Chris, if you would show me where your pubic bone is with your two hands. And of course, I've explained why we're doing this. I've gotten his permission. We have the rapport that's appropriate for working in this part of the body. So then I'm going to use your hands to very gently press on those bony prominences, and we're going to feel for differences in willingness to move. So they're a sensitive part of the body, so the pressure is really gentle, and I'm alternating back and forth between left and right, but very gently. And you tell me, Chris, if there's a different sense you get left and right in terms of mobility. That's a left, that's a right.
I'd say less on your side, opposed to you.
Okay. All right. So let me get focused so that I can feel that. I was not sure. I was would have suspected the opposite. So let me just get very specific. Tell me when you feel it, Chris.
The other side. I'm starting to feel the left one, the other side.
Yeah, I think so. What I'm doing is I'm asking him to tell me when he feels it. We didn't find it there, but when I can feel a barrier there on the left that sounds like he was feeling too. That?
Yeah.
Okay. So then the release or the mobilization could just be me waiting there on the direction that didn't move. Is the pressure still okay? And you soften into that. Pubic symphysis squish test, XA04. XA05 technique, the ASIS pubic symphysis technique. We're looking at the relationship between ASIS and pubic symphysis on the same side. That span is crossed by the inguinal ligament. There's lots of delicate structures through there, including the fascia of the thorax, feeding down into the crural fascia of the upper leg. Femoral triangle there, pretty sensitive and vulnerable area, and it's a zone that has to do with pelvic stability, pelvic motion. So I'm going to use my client's hands, again, to show me where pubic symphysis is. So go ahead and mock it up on the skeleton first. He's going to put his hand on his right pubic bone, and then I'm going to anchor his same side ASIS and use his hand to get a gentle sense of spreading between those two points. Even though they're connected by a single bony structure, we're still giving a sense that there could be some openness or widening or width across that dimension. Okay, show me again where your right pubic bone is, and then I get my hand on it as a way to stabilize that bone. Then I need to get to your, ASIS. Great, go ahead and get comfortable again. Is that okay? Get comfortable?
Perfect, yeah.
So then it's a kind of spreading where I'm encouraging the ASIS to fall away from the pubic bone. At the same time, Chris, you can breathe and let your right leg be heavy. After, say, an inguinal hernia repair or hip femoral impingement, anything that's bothering, psoas bursa problems, anything that's bothering this area, this is just a great way to come back into this part of the body and to work with any protective impulses or movement restrictions there. So the variations that are listed, I might hang out with this for a while since it's a nervous system technique, but the variations that are listed include forearm. So I could use my gentle forearm through his hand. Is that okay on your fingers? Just a broader surface to stabilize with. Or a cross-hand technique where I reverse my hand so I can encourage that kind of spreading feel and working through his hand right on that pubic bone. Sensitive zones, so checking in about the pressure. Any questions from y'all? Any questions about that?
So it's just about releasing tension in that area overall, and they're doing all the work pretty much.
Yeah, about reducing any guarding reflexes or bringing someone's body awareness, refining their body awareness to this part of their body and settling into that. More than, say, trying to stretch the bone bigger or anything like that, is helping him feel it better. Okay. ASIS pubic symphysis technique XA05. Another way to encourage lateral rotation of the ilium is to use our push broom A position from pelvis one, and that's where I bring his hip into flexion past 90 degrees. That by itself does take his ilium into some lateral rotation. Just the position there opens that ilium in that lateral rotation direction there. Now I can focus that or encourage that by getting a hold of the ASIS in front and the PSIS in back and just focusing that motion right at the SI joint. this position by itself does. Get a lot of lateral rotation, but then I can get a hold of those bony landmarks. Is that okay, Chris? ASIS in front, PSIS in back, and further flattening the pelvis onto the table. We have a body cushion under the sheet here, but you don't need it. You can use a face cradle. Push broom A from our pelvis 1 is the position, and then I'm just encouraging the specificity of the motion right at the joint with the ASIS and PSIS. Any questions?
So it looks like you're using a lot of pressure on your left hand, is that right?
Yeah, yeah, I am. I could have started with our willingness to move touch, but since he's already loaded pretty heavy from the position, yeah, I just went for the grosser mobility restriction. So I'm pulling and pushing with both hands. There's a lot of pressure with both hands. Both hands, yep.
And you said use a face cradle. If you don't have a body pillow, would you put the face cradle under his like lower abdomen?
No, his face in the face cradle.
Oh, so just leave the body pillow.
Face down, yes.
So it's fine to do it without any support.
Yeah, however he's comfortable face down.
Okay.
You don't need the pillow under there. Yeah. But there's probably some creative ways to use the face cushion that we haven't thought of yet. Anything else? Okay, that was XB06, lateral rotation prone. Another way to encourage medial rotation of the ilium is in this leg over position. So I'm gonna use his femur to roll that ilium medially. So we will have identified a restriction in this motion from some of the previous tests. And now on XB07, the medial rotation supine technique, taking a hold of, let me show you on the bone, PSIS, and then I'm using his leg on the other end of it to roll that whole bone medially. PSIS, using the leg to roll the ilium medially on the side that resisted medial rotation. How are you doing with that? Any questions?
Is it subtle or are you using quite a bit of pressure?
It could be anywhere along that continuum. It depends on style, partly. If in doubt, we start subtly and work up to it. If someone's in pain, say, we start subtle. We start with less pressure. But you know, because there's so many forces involved, the weight of his leg, I'm finding myself pushing and pulling pretty firmly. But it's, again, if there was some ongoing SI pain or static pain, I might work on a subtler level at first and ease into that. All good?
Until, are you offering any cues? Notice this or?
Yeah, same, yeah, it's good. The same cues we've been offering along, which is breathe and relax, let this settle or drop. Let your back open, I could say, as I'm pulling that PSIS wide. So it's just an invitation to soften into it in whatever direction we're going. XB07, medial rotation supine. Another method for encouraging lateral side flexion of the ilium, which we've been calling apple motion, would be to use the leg with your client in a prone position. So I'm going to use his leg across the body into adduction to apple the ilium or bring it into lateral side flexion. That looks like this. So let's say we'd identified that on this side. This is a way to open that side up in the apple direction. Or on the other side, we might open it up in this direction. And like with all these, it's not going to hurt to do them on both sides, especially if there's some discomfort or pain. If you notice a big asymmetry, one side is really different, that's the one you hang out on and encourage the relaxation. So that's my cue to him. So just see if you can let your leg drift this way. But again, the motions are hydrating, they're comforting if done properly, they are desensitizing, meaning they normalize the sensation if there's pain there. So the motions themselves are good. If you find a restriction, hang out on that side. Encourage your client to rest and relax. Okay. Hip adduction, lateral side flexion. Another way to encourage medial side flexion, or what we're calling pair motion, is on XC09, the ilia pair medial side flexion technique. In this one, I'm gonna bring his leg up into the push broom position again, which by itself can encourage some side flexion. And then I'm gonna use the bony landmarks, I'll show it again here, of the ischial tuberosity to further widen the dimension between those two tuberosities in that push broom position. So, push broom A position, knee past 90 degrees, one hand on the iliac crest, the other hand on the same side ischial tuberosity. Is that okay if I work with your ischial tuberosity? You can do this through the drape if you're working in a draped environment, or through the clothing that your client has on if you're in a clothing context. And just encouraging some more of that pair-like motion of the ilium. So I'm pulling straight towards myself, pushing on the iliac crest to widen the floor of the pelvis. How are we doing, Chris? Ilia side flexion, pair. An additional technique for evening out sacral motion is the seesaw technique. That's both an assessment and a mobilization. It's on XE10. And in this technique, I'm just gonna, like the name says, seesaw on different parts of the sacrum. We're gonna imagine four points of contact, two up here at the base and two at the ILAs, the inferior lateral angle. So you have four corners of a kite or a square or diamond there, and I'm gonna check between them. So I'm going to seesaw this way, I'm going to seesaw left and right, I'm going to spring test those various movements to feel which ones aren't as mobile or as resilient as others. So if I start here at the sacral base, right up the top, then I'm going to spring a little bit left and right, so I'm comparing left and right thumb. Chris, you get a sense of which one might not be as springy?
Maybe left.
I was even trying to show you the right. I was trying to lead the witness, but it's the left for you?
Yeah, it feels more blocked.
Okay, yeah, I can go there. If I use more pressure, then I agree with him. I get to the place where that right side just has a less of a bounce. The trampoline's a little stiffer on that side. So now I'm gonna compare left and right inferior lateral angles. Again, those lowest part of the sacrum I can feel that's not coccyx. Feeling through the soft tissue to the bones, and then comparing left and right there, which is essentially checking the lower part of the SI joint now. Pressure okay, Chris?
Yeah, that's fine.
And motion, what are you noticing?
Keep going back to left again, but
I'll go with your vote. I don't feel a big difference left and right. So far we have both left as being stiffer, less motion there. So now we can check top and bottom. So base to ILA on the right.
I would say upper.
Yeah, and it's gonna be stiffer in the upper on all of us just because of the lumbar joints up there too. But the question there is there movement potential in both places? Yeah, but I'm with you that the upper has even less there than the lower. And then checking the same pair of points on the left. Sacral base to left, inferior lateral angle. Let me get those landmarks. Knuckles are another option if thumbs are getting tired. So there's that and there's that. Let me go to my knuckles. There's that and there's that. That and that.
I feel the stiffness lower down this one.
Okay. So now that we've mapped out the stiffness, left side lower, we can actually just bounce some more on the trampoline, or we can do some of our various techniques that encourage mobility, say at the lower SI joint, like our ilia pair technique is encouraging mobility at the lower SI joint, for example, or when we encourage this nutation. So we can use some of the other techniques from our repertory to encourage the restricted motions. Spring testing the sacrum, all 4 points, then using techniques to mobilize the places that didn't move. Another way to check for even motion at the SI joints is the sacral superior glide technique on XE11, where putting my thumbs on the inferior lateral angles of the sacrum, I'm gonna glide the sacrum up in left and right in turn, comparing the mobility of each side. So when I push the sacrum up, that's superior sacral glide, it's the same thing as inferior ilial glide. Superior sacral glide, inferior ilial glide, comparing left and right, finding the side that doesn't move. So on the body, inferior lateral angles of the sacrum. That okay, Chris?
Yeah, that's good.
And then just checking for the springiness or responsiveness of the sacrum, comparing left and right. What is your sense, Chris? That compared to that, that compared to that.
Possibly the right.
That's pretty clear to me. Pretty clear to me. Now I'm going to pretend for a second like he'd said left, because just for the angle we're looking at it, and it's going to be easier to show you what would happen if I found a left restriction. So let's say he said this felt stiffer. Let's say I felt it stiffer on the left. Then I can just simply focus there on that bone in any number of ways to encourage that superior sacral glide. Is that all right? Which is also the same as inferior ilial glide. And we have some other techniques for that, like the ones we started with just using the legs to encourage inferior ilial glide. So I could turn him over or do that technique in this position as well. Any questions?
Taylor, are you just applying pressure, or just like moving your forearm a bit as you lean in?
I'm just leaning on his bone.
You are? Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sliding. It's not a fascial or a tissue, soft tissue technique. It's leaning on that bony prominence and letting it drift in the way it wasn't going.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions?
And it looks like you're really moving into applying some good force there. It's not listening to see if it's willing to go. You're actually asking it to go.
Is this, you're asking how much pressure to use?
Yeah.
It's the same answer. It depends. It depends on the client, depends on the circumstances. So any of these techniques can be done across the whole spectrum of pressure. And with Chris's body and the rapport we've been developing and et cetera, the context, we've moved into a more direct style, but any of these could be done in that listening light touch style as well. It takes a certain amount of pressure for most of us just to be able to get clear on the bony landmark here because there's so much tissue over it. But you know, that same principle applies. Start with the lightest possible touch. And use the amount you need to so that you both can feel it.
And so is your vector slightly down and then up toward the head?
I'm moving the sacrum this way. Straight toward his head.
Straight
toward his head. Others? Okay. Sacral superior glide, XE11. When we find a restriction to sacral mobility in a rotational direction, we're going to use XE12, sacral mobility rotation technique. Now, we find that when we did, say, the sacral seesaw test, maybe this side didn't go as deep. It's also the same, though, as a restriction to posterior glide of that ilia. So in either of those cases, we're looking for a rotational movement of the sacrum against the ilia. This is one option, using his position and his motion to encourage more of that motion. I'm going to get a really firm elbow against my hip. This knuckle is going to be up against his sacrum, not the PSIS, but the sacrum itself. And then I'm giving him a little resistance on his shoulder. You can see we've pre-positioned him on his side here with the shoulder a little bit behind the rest of the body. And then, Chris, you go ahead and resist this in both directions. So you pull your shoulder back and roll back against my knuckle a little bit. And that encourages the sacrum to go deep against the ilium. I can feel him pressing back against me, especially with the shoulder. So really pull forward with your shoulder. I'm pushing the sacrum anteriorly. I'm keeping my stool from rolling. A non-rolling stool would actually be a little bit easier here. And a non-sliding table. That's the direction. How's that feeling, Chris?
It's good.
Anything to say about it from your side?
Yeah, having you to resist against really helps me find what I'm looking for in terms of the twist in the sacrum.
Yeah. And I've gone to several places along that sacroiliac joint, which is somewhat lengthy, and just making sure that in each place his twisting, or his untwisting rather, pulling his shoulder forward, etc., is helping that sacrum go deeper on that side. It's a rotational motion of the sacrum. Any questions?
How does the resistance change the angle of the sacrum specifically?
This resistance here, I think probably what's happening is by resisting this, his whole torso is encouraging, through his spine, is encouraging the sacrum to go deep on that side. So go ahead and pull forward. So as he twists in that direction, it's actually dragging or pulling his coccyx with it. Does that feel right, Chris?
It does feel right, yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, sacral mobility in a rotational direction, XE12. There's a lot of things we can do for our own bodies to take care of our sacroiliac joints using the same principles we've been using. So we can do it for ourselves or we can teach our clients. The first one on X13 sit bone walking involves us just simply doing what the name sounds like, walking across the chair with one sit bone in turn. Go ahead and try that where you are. So you're just going to reach forward with one sit bone in the next, and then reach backwards with one sit bones in the next. Great. So for a variation, put one foot forward and one foot back. Everybody left foot, say. Everybody put left foot forward. So that's going to set up a bias. Go ahead and walk again that you can feel that it tends to rotate things one way. Go ahead and back on that same side. And then shift your feet and walk forward again. If you feel anything that doesn't feel right, stop. It should feel good, or if there is a little bit of sensitivity, it shouldn't be too much. People with a lot of sacral sensitivity can irritate themselves by doing this too much. But otherwise, it's hydrating and nourishing of all the tissues, anti-inflammatory, and also helps reset that pain cycle that gets set up. So we had different variations, one foot forward, one foot back. This could also be done seated with legs straight out on the floor, walking forward. It's a little more challenging version, and backwards as well. Pretty straightforward. And that is sit bone walking. Another self-care technique for the SI joint would be rotation, and we're going to both stretch rotation and resist rotation. So the simplest version is if you just pull yourself around, Chris, and focus the turning at your sacrum. And then if you pull back against your leg, it's like you're trying to straighten yourself out and resisting on the leg, that will, it's essentially twisting your sacrum within your pelvis. If that lit up some sensitivity, you could play with it, ease in and out of it, etc. And we would do both sides. These are probably all important to do both sides, just to keep things mobile in both directions. Okay, and then the next level would be bringing your heel up on your chair up to your chest, and the same thing, twisting around one way. Yep. And here again, resist, like pull against your leg, push your leg against your arm. Doing okay with that?
Yeah, that's good.
5 seconds. 5 to 10 seconds. Let's do it again on that side. So show the duration. We'll show the actual duration. And the breathing and relaxing are also key. Yeah. 4, 3, 2, 1, for example. That's good. And then the other way. Yeah, and as you're showing your clients these things, these little details like how long you do it and how many reps are the things that will help them anchor it and actually practice it, and the breathing and relaxing, that's probably the key. Great. And then the final variation with your foot on the stool, where it's the same thing. If you flex at your hips, yeah, exactly. So now you're going to be rotating your sacrum within the pelvis in this position. Yep. Pull back against the arm. If you want to, you can even reach up and breathe and relax if you got the whole, yep, trikonasana thing going. Pressing against, resisting. 3, 2, 1. And then the other side. And again, the instructions for the client will be 5 to 10 seconds, breathing, relaxing, looking for sensitivity and staying at the edge of it, relaxing around it. So we're both mobilizing and we're desensitizing those SI joints. 2, 1, great. Thank you, Chris. Any questions?
With the seated one, mm-hmm. leg up,
yep.
Is it important to have the ankle firmly anchored? Because I've done this before where my ankle slips out.
Yeah, right. No, that's okay. As long as you're pulling, as long as you're not falling off your chair, the point of it is finding a twist. So it's not like this has to be in a particular place. It's finding the twist that it either lights up the sensitive SI joint or mobilizes the stiff one and then pressing against it as you breathe and relax. Yeah?
So you recommend we break it down so you find your position first and then begin to apply resistance? It's probably easier, right?
Yeah, step by step. Get in position, twist, and then resist once you're there. Breathe and relax.
So,
yeah.
I'm also curious because it's a very different position without the back of the chair.
Yeah.
Should the lumbars be in a relaxed mode or should you hold a neutral spine during this twist?
So relaxed mode would be like curling back?
Yeah.
Yeah, ideally it's great to twist around a central axis. That's like good form in yoga and our structural integration. But our main point is mobility at the SI joint. So all these things could actually be variations that you experiment with, and if you can find that sensitivity or the stiffness, that's where you'd work with it.
Okay.
Other questions? Okay. Resisted rotation for the SI joint self-care. In hip extension, at least when we resist hip extension, it drives the ilium into posterior torsion. So that can be a self-care. We can use that principle to adapt it to a self-care technique. So if you pull your knee to your chest, Chris, for example, and then push against your hands, pull back, what's happening is his right ilium is being pulled into posterior torsion. Does that make sense to your body?
Yeah, I feel that. It's like my glutes are taking it into posterior.
Glutes and hamstring are taking that into a posterior torsion. So then you can soften into it. There you go. As you keep pushing. Yeah. And breathe. And if you find sensitivity, you'd hang out at the edge of that. Or if you find a stiffness, again, you just stay with that and let it soften. Great.
So engage and then release a little bit to kind of measure the amount of input?
Certainly, yeah, but it's the resisted part, it's the pushing against it and softening around that sensation that does it. And again, 5 to 10 seconds or 3 breaths, somewhere in there. Okay, and then the other side, like all these other mobilizations, we're doing them on both sides. Pushing against the hands. And then as you can imagine, too, you could combine these in any direction that seems to light up that sensitivity or stiffness with all these variations possible. Looking for the sensitivity or the stiffness there and working with it by softening. Yeah, there you go, combining with rotation, flexion, extension, etc. And then you can also imagine doing the same kind of thing, say, on a, if you stand up for a second, put your foot up on the stool.
Facing you?
Facing me, yep. Let's start with your right leg. You could do the same thing there. You can push down on the stool, yeah? Brace it with the knee. Some people, that'll help balance to hold that with both hands like you were before. So then you can push against your hands.
Like drive the knee forward?
Yep, drive the knee forward. Bend forward at the hips. And look for different ways that resisted extension again ties into sacral sensitivity or stiffness. Picture this in a phone booth or in a door frame where you're pushing on the other wall of the enclosure with your foot. You could do it in that position as well. Or supine, face up, just pulling your knee to your chest and pushing against that. Those are all variations there. Any comments, questions from the therapists? Okay. Resisted hip extension. Again, it's a mobilizer for posterior torsion of the ilium.